Amen and good morning. Good to be here. There's a lot of people in this room. Lots of family, and good to see some of you who we haven't seen in months. Been on the COVID vacation. Welcome back. Good to be here. Our text for this morning comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's pray together. Father God, it is good to gather as your people this morning, to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus, to worship you, our faithful God, who loved us when we were enemies, who made a way when there was no way, who sent your Son to suffer and die in our place so that we might be united with you and adopted as sons and daughters. God, tune our hearts to worship this morning and let us experience the resurrection power that has been promised in Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so this is Resurrection Sunday, and it's pretty crazy that we began this series walking through the book of Mark in September of 2019, a long, long time ago. And this will be our 65th sermon in the book of Mark, and we have one more to go next week. But what's crazy is with all the interruptions from COVID, and we had a little short series on the mission and vision, when I sat down at the first of this year to kind of lay out the rest of the book, today landed on Mark chapter 16, the resurrection. It was not planned at all by me, but obviously God knew that April 4th, 2021 would be a good time to be in chapter 16 of Mark. So super encouraged by that. And as I prepared this sermon, another story from Scripture kept coming up in my mind. It is actually a story from Mark chapter 9, which was 7 months ago, a long time ago. And it's about this father of a boy who suffered from seizures. And when these seizures would come upon him, he would foam at the mouth and fall to the ground convulsing, and he would often fall into the fire or into water, and his father was greatly concerned for his son. And so the man brought his son before the disciples for healing, but they were unable to heal this boy. So he came to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." To which Jesus responds, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And Jesus casts out the evil spirit, and the disciples come and say, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be cast out or driven out by anything but prayer." Such a powerful story. And the reason this story comes to mind on Resurrection Sunday is because of this father's proclamation. "I believe, help my unbelief." Because I feel like the words of this father resonate with so many of us. I feel like they should resonate with so many of us. because I know there are a lot of folks who are believers, who believe in the resurrection and all that Christ has accomplished, and yet the Christian life is hard. Faith is hard. It is a long journey of growing and abiding in Christ, learning to apply these gospel truths to our daily lives. It's continually seeing areas of our life where we fail to believe in what Christ has accomplished for us and who he says we are in him. And it's asking Jesus to increase our faith. And the first step for many of us, or all of us, is simply confessing the reality that sometimes we struggle to believe. Sometimes we doubt. It's not as though we're overtly denying the resurrection of Jesus, but the truth is that if we truly grasp the reality that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, that he is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us at this very moment, that he will return in glory, ushering in his eternal kingdom, it changes the way we live. It changes everything. It changes what we love and what we value and what we pursue in this life. But we struggle here. We struggle. The truth is that every sin and every anxiety and every unkind word and every prideful thought is a failure to trust in the risen Lord, to trust in all that he's promised. It is a failure of faith. And I'm not just talking to new believers. There is a particular struggle when we are new believers as we learn the gospel and learn the call of God in our lives. But even long-term believers, people with a robust understanding of the gospel, who are secure in their faith, still struggle with applying these truths to our daily life. Every time we lash out at our spouse, we cut corners at work, or we simply allow bitterness to fester in our hearts, we are not applying the gospel that we proclaim. We are not believing the gospel in those moments. We may affirm it with our mouths, but in those moments, we are not believing it in our hearts. All these other voices and these other hopes and these counterfeit joys are constantly pulling us from trusting who we are in Christ, squelching the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. And this is the Christian life. This is the process of sanctification that the Spirit is working in us. We still struggle with sin and doubt. And my hope today is that we would simply acknowledge this reality, that we would humble ourselves before Jesus like this father and ask him to increase our faith. I believe, help my unbelief. To ask him to increase our faith when it comes to our marriages, to our finances, to our future, to where we pursue joy and life. Because acting like we have it all together, acting like everything is good, like there's no hint of doubt or struggle in our lives when it comes to the miraculous things of God, is of no value to anyone. God's power is perfected in our weakness. Faith is grown when we realize our dependency upon God, even for faith itself. And our weakness in these areas is not to our shame. The world may shame you for weakness. You may shame you for weakness. But the Word of God says that a realization of our weakness is the pathway to true power in life. As J.I. Packer, who was known as the happy theologian, titled one of his last books before passing away at the age of 93, weakness is the way. So we can rejoice like Paul, proclaiming, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's what we long for. for the power of Christ to rest upon us, to experience his nearness, to know the confidence of his presence. You see, all believers have doubts, all struggle with faith. And if anyone tells you otherwise, they're either trying to fool you or they've fooled themselves. And so my hope this Easter morning is that we would find the freedom to struggle, that we would hear the information from Scripture about Jesus' resurrection, that we would think deeply about what Scripture says, and that we would not assume that having the right information is the same as experiencing transformation. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would supernaturally imprint the glorious news of the resurrection on our hearts and increase our faith each and every day. And that begins with the humility to admit that we struggle and to come to Jesus and say, help my unbelief. Because here's the thing, the resurrection was as unbelievable to Jesus' first disciples as it is to people today. Mark makes pretty clear, nobody expected a resurrection. Despite the fact that Jesus had continually predicted his own death and even made clear that he would rise again on the third day, yet here we are. It's the third day. We're the disciples. Are they camping outside the tomb, waiting expectantly for Jesus to come out? No, they're gone. They're hiding in fear. And where's Jesus' family? We don't know. Nowhere to be found. And these women who are headed to the tomb are not saying, let's go see the risen Lord. They're concerned about how they're going to move the really big rock so they can get to the dead body of Jesus. They were being faithful to Jewish customs and traditions, but not to the actual words of Jesus. They brought ceremonial spices to anoint his dead body. No one expected a resurrection. But Jesus did rise from the dead. And sin and death were defeated. Jesus was obedient, even to death on the cross. So you see, the faithlessness of these women, the faithlessness of the religious leaders, the faithlessness of Peter and the other disciples didn't change the fact that God is always faithful. He had come to bring redemption and life, and there was nothing that was going to get in the way of God's plan of redemption on the earth. God sent his Son to live the perfect life we could not live, to die the sinless death that we could not die, taking our sin upon himself and giving us his righteousness. And then he rose on the third day, ascending into heaven and pouring out his Spirit on all who believe. This was always God's plan. This is why we have hope. This is how we can confidently come before the throne of God. And this is the truth that leads to the power we have been promised as the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays this amazingly rich prayer over the church in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places." This is a huge prayer. And I love it. Paul doesn't say, "Look, you bunch of faithless people, shape up and get your act together." No, he says, "I've seen your faith. I've seen your love towards one another." He could basically be talking to Christ Church. "I've seen it." And for that reason, I give thanks and I pray. I pray that you would be granted greater wisdom and greater understanding and greater enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, that you would know the hope to which you've been called and the promised inheritance that is yours in Jesus, and that you would know the immeasurable power that belongs to those who believe. He says, the same power by which God raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work in those who believe. It's at work in us. Do you believe that? The same power by which God raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work in us. And not long after Jesus' resurrection, we would see this power on display in the lives of the disciples. When Jesus pours out his Spirit at Pentecost, these men who were cowering in fear, nowhere to be found, would be transformed from men who were hopeless and fearful at the crucifixion into confident and bold witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. They would teach and serve and love with supernatural strength and boldness, fearlessly proclaiming the gospel, even if it cost them their lives. And with the exception of John, who died in exile, it cost every one of them their life. That was resurrection power. A power to lay down one's life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that this world is not their home. Knowing that death was simply the beginning of true life. Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits of God's eternal kingdom. So what does this mean for you? In verses 6 and 7 of our text, the angel, Mark doesn't say it's an angel, Matthew does, we'll call him the angel, says, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So the thing about Mark is, he doesn't give a lot of details. He doesn't explain a lot of things. He's not diving into the theological significance of the resurrection. He simply reports the news. It's the best news. It's the gospel news, which actually means good news. And this story is filled with so much mystery, but the message to these women at the tomb is clear. Go, tell, be witnesses. Look where they laid him. Believe what he told you. And go be with Jesus. It's so powerful. It's the same thing Jesus would tell his disciples before ascending into heaven. Go. Make disciples of all nations. Go. Tell the world about my resurrection. About the resurrection hope we now have. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus said. There is amazing power and confidence available in Christ Jesus. But the truth is that some of us approach Jesus like these women approach the tomb. We don't expect much. We do our duty. We're ceremonially religious. But the resurrection calls for so much more. When the truth of the resurrection, the empty tomb, the risen Lord takes root in our hearts, we cannot remain silent. Everything changes. And this is what we need. This is why we cry out with the Father from Mark 9, I believe, help my unbelief. We want to live lives that are empowered by the reality that we serve the living King Jesus. He is alive. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? It means that we can now face suffering with hope. We can face evil with forgiveness. We can face death without fear. It means that our cancer or betrayal or loneliness or regret or devastating sin or deep-rooted anger. And the suffering we all experience in this short life do not have ultimate power to crush us or define us. Those things seem unbeatable, but Jesus has declawed the enemy. Jesus has removed the sting of death. He says in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he says, "Do you believe this?" I love that question. Do you believe this? That's our question this morning. Do you believe this? That because of the resurrection of Jesus, those who trust in him shall never die. That we have an eternal hope. That the same power by which God raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. Do you believe this? And my prayer is that we would be honest with ourselves and we would be honest with God and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe, but there are doubts. I believe, but there is sin that grips me. I believe, but I hope in other things. I believe, but my faith is weak. I believe, but I need your power at work in me to believe all the more. I believe. Help my unbelief." See, the fundamental truth of the gospel is that we can't save ourselves. We can't be good enough or righteous enough to warrant God's favor. There is no amount of work on our part that will cleanse our soul or free us from the stain of our sin. And this is exactly why God sent Jesus Christ. We need a salvation that is outside of ourselves. We need a faith that is outside of ourselves. We need a power that is outside of ourselves. We need resurrection power. And that power has been promised when we humble ourselves before God. When we admit our weakness and trust in his unwavering faithfulness. As Paul prays over the Thessalonian church, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." He will surely do it. That's a promise. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we celebrate 14 kids being baptized today. Lives are being changed by the risen Lord because he rose from the dead over 2,000 years ago. That is resurrection power at work. So as we move from here to baptisms and family gatherings and chasing after little plastic eggs full of candy, rejoice in the reality that you cannot save you, but that Jesus Christ is risen and his power is perfected in our weakness. Let's pray together. Father God, we believe. Help our unbelief. God, we confess that we struggle with sin, that we struggle with fear and anxiety and doubt. God, help us turn and trust again in the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. Make us a people who rest in his perfect righteousness, who daily walk in repentance, and who long to live lives of obedience to you, joyfully serving and loving and pouring our lives out, knowing that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and that resurrection power is at work in us through the Holy Spirit, to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen.